Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And let me ask all of you HR leaders out there one simple question. If I could show you how to move from doing HR reporting and analytics from those messy spreadsheets that you're using and show how you can move to a real-time, streamlined, and automated people dashboard that connects to all your HR systems and pulls all your data into one real-time shareable view, would you be interested? I bet you would. Well, that's why you should go to employeecycle.com and check out our people dashboard. We have pre-built API connectors to the most popular best-in-breed HR systems you're all using. Systems like Bamboo HR, namely Zenefits, Reflective, Lattice, Greenhouse, you name it. We can pull all that data from those systems into one real-time view to help you become data-driven and make smarter workforce decisions. Go to employeecycle.com now. Sign up for a demo. Would love to chat with you. But that's enough about me and our company, because today we have an awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Janessa Mundestin. She's the Director of People and Culture at Yoga International. And today we're going to discuss how to help employees play to their strengths. Janessa, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Janessa!
Woo! I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm so happy to have you here. So Janessa, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Funny as that might be, I actually started with the organization as a presenter. So my career started as being a yoga instructor who ran her own company, her own three studios in New York and New Jersey, and basically hired and trained and recruited people for my own company. And when I went to Yoga International and said, you know, you might want to look into recruiting more for your organization, and I'd like to help you, obviously, as a presenter, since I have my image on there, I want you to be successful, right? Because the more successful you are, the more successful I will be. And yeah, we went from being a presenter to being a producer to finally saying, hey, you know what, let's move into organizational leadership, and I can create this role outside of being a producer, working alongside people in operations. So I am still part of the HR kind of team, or, you know, the people operations team, but I am looking to really play on the culture of the organization as opposed to just looking at resourcing and filling positions. So that's how, in a little nutshell, how I got here.
Got it. And Yoga International is a pretty interesting and special organization. So I would love for you to give a quick summary of what does your organization do?
Awesome. So first and foremost, a lot of people on the outside might look at it as another tech company, like a software as a service, but we really are a yoga company first and foremost. So our CEO and the entire exec team, basically were born out of a Himalayan Institute, which is a yoga lineage, and everyone lived at the ashram and worked and lived together there and decided that, you know what, we wanted to print a magazine called Yoga International. And we started out as being a print magazine. Then we realized print was going to go, you know, like Titanic, down and under. So we became a digital company. And we started to just want to share the yoga practice with everyone we possibly could, as accessible as we can be. And so we became this digital online platform that just basically delivers yoga, similar to like a Netflix of yoga. And that's how the company came to be.
Got it. So today we're talking about how to help employees play to their strengths. And before we talk about how we get them to do that, I would first like to ask you, what does that even look like for an employee to play up to their strengths? And what does that mean?
Yeah, so someone coming into any organization, knowing what their strengths look like, starts with being self-reflective about where they are in the space, their capacity right now, because this is really, you know, tumultuous time, tons of uncertainty. So if you're an employee or someone who's looking to be recruited or apply at any place, it needs to start with self. It's not necessarily always about the job description that's out there on the platforms where you can just go apply, It's really starting with like, what do I want to do? And what do I do well? Like an honest self-reflection. And this goes back to the conversation of us being a yoga company. So one of the tenets of being in yoga is a lot of self-reflection. Some people may know it as meditation, right? So you sit there and you kind of be one with self and figure out what's real for you and what's not. And so we do a lot of that inside of our organization, right? What's really working for us? In the business world, they would call this a SWOT analysis, right? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are the opportunities? And what are the threats? And so with that, as employees coming into the new work, you know, environment, it starts with doing a little bit of that, knowing where your strengths are and knowing what you can deliver differently than someone else who's also applying for the job.
I have a few questions that I now want to ask based off of what you just said, which may even take this interview in a totally different direction, and I'm okay with that. So one of the questions that I have is around playing up to your strengths versus trying to improve your weaknesses.
Right.
And I'm curious, what is your take on that? Should a person look to see where they really thrive and try to focus on that and just leave their weaknesses by the wayside because that's just not what they're good at? Or do you believe that most people should actually try to improve their weaknesses so that they become more well-balanced?
Yeah, you know, that's a fantastic question. So I'm going to go back to this yoga tenets that we live by, right? So in our yoga practices, obviously we're going to have some strengths, right? We're going to do some things really, really well, even in movement practices. But doesn't mean we deny or say, you know, I'm going to ignore the things I don't do well. We're looking to become more well-balanced. But that requires support. That requires you being honest with yourself and saying, hey, you know what? I don't do that well. That's an area of improvement. That's an opportunity for growth. And I'll need mentorship, leadership, right? Support systems, maybe a continuing education to help support those things that I'm not so good at so that they can actually not become faults of the company, right? Or liabilities to the company. So that's also quite important. But we, you know, if I come into an interview with, and usually I'm meeting someone on the second part of the interview, I always ask about what their strengths are and everyone plays that up. But I want to know about, in that self-reflective process, what do you need help with? And is that something that as an organization, can we help you get there if your strengths are something that we're looking for, right? If their strengths looks fantastic and sounds like exactly what we need to fill the position or to grow in the organization, but where are your flaws? Where are the faults? And how can we best support you with that? So that, again, we want someone to grow with us, not just be here for a temporary status.
You know, this is so interesting because I believe since the first interview, people have probably been asking about your weaknesses. And so many people get trained on answering with such BS answers like, oh, I'm such an overachiever that I just can't stop working or I just always win. And so when I lose, it's hard for me to internalize, which is such BS.
Right.
So I have a question for you. How should people answer that question about weakness? Is there a line that's too far that you shouldn't cross where you actually are now telling me something bad about yourself that you probably should just let us figure out later down the line, but now it's too late and we've already hired you? Or are there actual ways to talk about even the worst parts of your weaknesses, but in a positive way where you're still being true and authentic, but at the same time, you're not putting yourself and digging yourself in a hole that you can't come out of?
Yeah. And I think it's always going to be about how you position anything. So sometimes people can come in really strong and overly strong, right? Like as if this is just also not going to be able to fit with the dynamics of our organization. Even if they can get the task done, they're just overly confident. They're too self-assured. Those things are also flaws too, right? So it also means just the same way you position things that are not as pretty. And we know people are messy. It just is, right? So if we come in and we can be honest and say, listen, I'm not that great with time management. And I'll say, well, give me an example of that. My questions are probably a little bit more thought-provoking. Like, tell me a time when someone's been disappointed with your work. And what did you do about that? And how did you handle that? Well, how did you handle giving difficult feedback to someone who is a superior, someone who you report to, someone who doesn't report to you across the company lines? Give me examples of your communication style. So I ask a lot of in-depth questions because I want to see how people react in situations. So it's not just focusing on just the weakness. It's how do you handle your weaknesses in a way that's conducive, that the company can still thrive, and you can thrive within the organization as well.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it seems that the best way to have a workforce that can really play up their strengths is to hire people for the right strengths that you need at your organization in the first place. And if that's correct, then is there a such thing as trying to do this too early in the process? Meaning, should you be trying to use some type of assessment to figure out what strengths people have? Should you ditch the assessment and just go right to the interview and then just try to tease out those strengths in the interview process? Or is it hiring the person and then in onboarding, the manager is really understanding this on a one-on-one and then coaching you to play up your strengths? Where should this process start, and then how does it mature over time?
That's a phenomenal question. So we do not have any assessments in the interview process because it is more so about finding the right dynamics of an individual than giving them tools that they can basically be trained on, right? Like if someone knows a specific software system, that's easily to be trained. But you can't train how people respond to you, right? You can't train how people are going to respond to conflict resolution. So we put our assessments after we hire someone. And so what we do is we do our first interview, we do our second interview, and we do a lot of situational kind of questions. We do a 360 interview where you're meeting directly with the quote-unquote supervisor, the person you report to. And then the second part, they meet with me and they meet with the director of people operations. And then they meet other people in the organization so that everyone can get a feel for that individual. Because we actually serve one another inside of an organization. It's not just customers on the outside. We are our each other's internal customer. And then we assess and do buddy programs once the person's hired. And that is, that buddy system is to help know that, okay, this is where this person has said they have some weaknesses. Let's partner them with people that they can actually be mentored by from the jump, so that they can be successful from day one.
And the people that they're being mentored by in this buddy system, are these individuals always from the same department, or can they be from other areas where they can also be helpful?
All over the company, right? So it is about the greater goal, serving our members. So it doesn't make sense to stay in the same department. It's important that we can have cross-department communication. And so someone who just comes in creative and design can work with someone from product ops and web development. They'll meet with our executive team. They'll buddy up with people from our executive team. So, you know, we don't want the middle management barrier of, you know, you only got to go to your specific manager and you can go up one more level from that. We want the conversations to happen even with the CEO, with the board, or even with the, you know, a newly hired individual who's just in customer service part-time. All of that is allowable in our organization.
Got it. That's pretty interesting. So when it comes to these strengths, how do you define a strength? Do you look at strengths in regards to personality? So can a strength be that a person has a great, call it stage presence, and their strength is that they should be a presenter? But then are you also looking at industry strengths? So in the sense that this person has a lot of experience in digital marketing or analytics or yoga practice, for that matter? Or is it more about strengths in regards to the way that they think? And I mean, like, what does that look like?
Yeah, it is more about the way that they think. It's more so about the way that they can carry themselves in a collaborative effort. And it is about the way that they show up in the world. Like, what's their point of view? And where do they think they can grow as an individual when you have this kind of space inside of an organization? So if we can give you the support that you need and the space to be creative and innovative and lead, collaborate, and serve, what can you do? If you had that as your launching pad, right? What else could you do? How else could you pull us up to the next level of our organization? And that's really important because we don't really look at strengths as, you know, this software program really, really well. Again, we're big on teaching people how we move in this kind of bubble because our organization is totally different. We're not a startup. You know, we're not just another Netflix. We get to define our own rules as to how to play in the world. So we train quite a bit here. We collaborate quite a bit here, but it needs the right mindset of someone to say, hey, I don't know that. Teach me. I'm not good at that. Can I be better? Like, those are things that you can't train exactly. That empathy, that compassion, that curiosity. Those are the things that's way more interesting to us as an organization than just knowing hard skills.
So for all of the HR and people leaders listening out there that are really intrigued by your process and this framework, and they might even want to adopt some of this in their own organization, can you provide a more concrete example of what this would look like, whether it's for a specific role or a specific type of person, in regards to how you would help to identify their strengths, help them figure out either themselves or with the help of the organization with which strengths that they should be playing up? And then how does that actually work in regards to them doing their job and progressing through their career?
What we do first and foremost is, before we start putting out a job role out there to promote, to find an applicant, we start looking at the dynamics of the team itself, the department or team itself. And we kind of work very much like a holocratic kind of system, where we work on roles, responsibilities, and most importantly, accountability. Like, what will you be accountable for in this role? And if you're not accountable for that, is that a role that we need to hire for? And that's how we find our people. So as opposed to just doing a job description, like a blanket job description that says, hey, I want you to do these tasks every single day. This is who you report to. We literally rip that off the page and say, nope, these are the roles and the accountability that we want for this particular person to fill in the organization. So I think it starts there. In fact, I know for a fact that it starts there, is what do we want that person to be accountable for? And then who are they accountable to? Up, down, and across. And how does that role play a bigger role in the bigger scheme of the organization? So when we can describe that and explain that clearly, then we create the job posting. And through people operations, HR, that's how we source the right person into that. So for example, we put out in the past three weeks, we put out a role called post-production review assistant. This is a person who day in, day out will actually, with a fine-tooth comb, review every single content piece that we've ever recorded. So that's an extremely detailed-oriented person, to make sure that, A, the person who's talking on the mic is credible, is clear and articulate. There are no sound barriers. There's no thumping in the background. There's no dogs barking in the background, right? The color scheme looks perfectly fine. It doesn't look like it's skewed in any way. And then clear it for production and post-production. So once that goes out to publication, they have a lot of say. This person has a lot of authority of how the end product looks like. When in the midst of doing an interview, we discovered that several people had broadcasting skills. So they've been on TV. They worked on TV before. And maybe post-production review assistant may not be the right title for them, might not be the right role for them. But they obviously have a skill set that we need, hard skills and soft skills. So we just created a new role to allow that person into the organization to help us grow. It wasn't something that we were thinking of in the forefront, but obviously it's something we identified in the midst of the interview and the collaborative process. And we said, you know what? This is what we need. And now we can change other roles that we already have to fit the needs that we needed, and then create space for this other person to come in to help develop the production style of our organization. So that's also, we're constantly in reevaluation. We're constantly in self-reflection inside of the organization, even in the midst of a hiring process. Like, if we find out that a role that we put out there just does not fit, we take the role away and say to everyone who's interviewed, you know what, we've just reevaluated that. We're keeping you on top of mind. We're just going to pull this now because this is not exactly what we needed. So you can have an opportunity to reapply again. Or if someone did fit, we'll pull them into the organization, call them in, and possibly create a role that makes sense for them to be in.
It seems that you have a very robust and thoughtful process. So I want to end this interview with speaking about being thoughtful. And because your organization is based around yoga and the principles of yoga. I'm curious if you believe your organization was more uniquely positioned to be able to handle the pandemic and the crisis in regards to all the areas of the workforce that a lot of companies have been struggling in, specifically around burnout, workforce balance, mental health, isolation. Do you believe that your organization was strategically and uniquely positioned for that because of that yoga background and that yoga root at the core of your organization? And I guess with that, I'm curious, do most of the people at your organization practice, and do you find that most people who work there are people who practice yoga? I think they're called yogis,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. are they yogis? And does that help when you're dealing with these type of things?
Yeah. Not everyone that has been hired for our organization started out in yoga. But yoga's up to interpretation. It is this level of mindfulness that we actually do move forward with, right? How can we think the whole process through, this whole 360 degrees of who does it affect and how does it affect them? So yes and no to that answer. The mindset of and the culture of the organization did set us up to be more agile. But however, there are things that we didn't think about when we tried to become more remote. We didn't think about the fact that, like, our organization, when we went to headquarters in Pennsylvania, we had a meal taken care of every day, our lunch menus taken care of every day. We literally had a cafe and a team of people who just basically fed us, because obviously what you put into your body helps affect your creativity and your innovation. And now that you're home, you've got more stressors. You may not have the same quality of food. So we had to reinvent the idea of the culture that we created in headquarters, now spread it out between Netherlands, Mexico, Canada, United States. We have people now all over. And how can we, you know, create that culture for everyone equally? So it took some chances, and it also took some bad mistakes, right? We made mistakes as well, but we were quick to rectify it. And I think that's what made us become more adaptable to this situation with COVID, is that when we messed up, we were able to say, you know what, let's try this again. What is that going to look like now? And owning that. And yep, we messed up. Tell everyone, but we're going to fix it now. And this is how we're going to move forward. Let's get the input in. And let's just do the work.
Janessa, I want to thank you so much for being such an awesome, an authentic, and transparent podcast guest. As much as this was about playing up to your strengths, it was also about self-awareness and mindfulness and all the other things that all HR leaders should definitely have as they're looking to lead their workforce. So thank you so much for being on the show and for dropping so many gems of wisdom to help the broader HR community. Thanks so much.
Woo! Janessa!
Thank you.
So where can people find you and Yoga International online?
YogaInternational.com. You can find our careers page at yogainternational.com/careers. You can find me on LinkedIn with Janessa Mondestin, or even on Instagram, Janessa Mondestin.
Awesome. And we'll definitely include all of those contact points in the show notes. So if you enjoyed this episode as much as Janessa and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, because that shows that we're providing great content. Also, if this is the very first episode of ours that you've ever listened to, and you came here because you're either already a huge super fan of Janessa and you just had to hear what she was going to say, or you thought this topic was super compelling, but now you're hungry for more awesome episodes, then please go to EmployeePsycho.com and subscribe to our HR podcast newsletter, or you can subscribe to the Employee Psycho podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast networks. Last but not least, all of you awesome and super amazing HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.